How you doing, Met fans? And welcome to another edition of the Terry Collins Show presented by Tunnel of Towers. Supporting America's greatest heroes, donate just $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. I'm John Arezzi. Well, the Mets are on a roll playing the best baseball of the season while still a mountaintop away from 500 in playoff contention. Their record since the trade deadline is 10-4. We'll talk about that during our jam-packed show this week. But first, let's welcome back to the show, his show, the man who has been traveling for most of the past month, but back with us today, the former skipper of the New York Mets, the last man to guide them to the World Series, Mr. Terry Collins. Terry, welcome back.
Good. I'm glad to be back, John. It's good to see you. Hope everything's been good with you. As you said, I've been all over the place, so I'm glad to be settled back.
Yeah, you've been everywhere, which we're going to get into, and your travel schedule has been incredible, but we'll get into all of that and find out what your adventures have been. We do have a great show lined up today. In just a bit, we're going to be joined by the eighth-ranked prospect for the New York Mets organizational on their chart, a lifelong diehard Mets fan who was acquired at the trade deadline for Pittsburgh from the Pittsburgh Pirates for Luke Weaver, who was the Mets' best reliever this year. He's now a Brooklyn Cyclone. His name is Sammy Stafford. He's a New York kid. And I'm really looking forward to your interaction with Sammy TC.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting him. You know, I've spent, as you know, John, most of my career in player development. So
yes,
those young players are, you know, they're very special to me. So I'm anxious to meet them.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, like for him, he's got so much energy, so much speed. He's got pop in his bat. He's a lifelong Mets fan. You've dealt with so many young players and so many stand out when we've talked about them, like the Daniel Murphys of the world and all that player development you did in your career. So I think this kid is going to get some really good tips from one of the best. So we look forward to bringing him on later in the show. Mr. Pete Attucci is going to come on. He runs a baseball bat company, a baseball equipment company, and he supplies bats to major league players, including Bo Bichette. He has been working with Bo since Bo was 13. So he's going to come on with a special announcement involving Bo and the Tunnel to Towers golf outing that's taking place in your neck of the woods on October the 4th. And we're also going to hear later on from Johnny Franco on behalf of Tunnel to Towers in a video message. And later in the show, we'll give you the opportunity to own some brand new dual sign memorabilia from David Wright and Jose Reyes, courtesy of our friends of Coaches Collectibles. But let's get right into this past month, Terry, right here on our leadoff. First off, you're in Cooperstown for the very first time, the weekend of July 24th, and you got to see your friend, your former player, former Met Carlos Beltran, inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Talk to us about that experience.
First of all, it's amazing that I've spent 55 years in baseball and never went to Cooperstown, never. I even played in the New York Penn League, where I'm sure we drove past it several times on little road trips. But, you know, I just never got there in the summertime, and in the winter times for many, many years, John, I didn't have any money to travel anywhere. So, you know, when you're in the minor leagues trying to make it, you were too busy trying to earn money so you could go back and play the next year. So I never got there. So when I finally did, beautiful city, a beautiful little town, very, very welcomed by, obviously, the tourist industry is huge there. But I got there for Carlos's party on Saturday night. Obviously, Jay Horowitz and I, we went together to the party, and I just sat there with Jay, and it just one after another, a superstar came by to say hello. And you know, it makes you humble. It humbles you to death, because here I managed against a lot of these guys, Pedro Martinez, Mike Piazza, David Ortiz, Raul Ibanez, Delgado. I mean, they were all there. And so it was very cool to see how much they loved Carlos and, you know, were a big part of his life, and they were certainly thrilled in it. So I got, just obviously there were so many people, I just got to say hi to Carlos briefly that night. But the next morning on Sunday, I went to the hotel to have breakfast, and I ran into Sandy Koufax. As you know, Sandy and I are friends, so I got to talk to Sandy for a while, and then, oh, here comes CC Sabathia over. Here comes Derek Jeter over. Here comes, you know, one after another. They weren't coming over to say hi to me. They were coming over to say Sandy. I was aware of that, but it was so cool. And I got to have a conversation with Steve Cohen and David Stearns, which was nice because I'm a huge Mets fan and want the team to do well. So that was fun. Nice. And then the ceremony itself was off the charts. I got to see you. You were there, and I was sitting next to Jose Reyes during the ceremony and Carlos Baerga. And obviously when Carlos gave me a shout out and thanked me during his speech, I got choked up because I wasn't expecting it for sure. And Reyes said, well, stand up. I said, I'm not going to stand up. It's his day. It's not mine. So it was very, very special. And I will tell you, when I left, I don't care how long it took me to drive there. I was glad I was there and got to experience it all. And I think the only disappointing part of the whole thing was I didn't get to see Jim Leland because Jim's not doing well, and he didn't get to make it. But other than that, it was a tremendous weekend.
Yeah, it certainly was. And my nephew and I did run into you there when you came out, and you were getting swamped yourself. There were so many people that were just happy to see you there. And when you said it was your first trip there, it was kind of like, wow. When Beltran was giving that speech, and he obviously means so much to him, that video, we did pull that clip. So, if you get emotional, that's okay, Terry. It was very emotional watching it. So, Marsh, why don't you pull up that clip of the recognition that Carlos Beltran gave our own TC.
Terry Collins, when my knee became one of the biggest challenges of my career, you remind me, Terry, that setbacks don't really define us. What defines us is how we respond to them. So the fact that you took your time to connect with me, to push me, to encourage me, to challenge me, I appreciate, my friend, our relationship. And I have to say that one of the greatest things every time I go to spring training is I look forward to see you and to connect with you. Thank you, Terry.
That was very, very, very cool. And the fact that you guys do connect every spring training as well, that's very meaningful to have those long-lasting relationships with people that you respect and admire.
You know, John, you think about all the players that you have had, all the guys that I've had throughout the years. And, anytime you're a minor league coach or not minor league manager and one of your players becomes successful, there's a little piece of you that said you had something to do with it. Whether you did or not, he's the only one who knows. But, that's the thing that drives you. It drives you as a coach in the minor leagues because you're not making much money. Yeah. You're out there long hours, all spring training. You're there. You're on the field at 7 in the morning with early work with guys, and you're there at 5 in the afternoon doing late work with guys. And so, and then to be absolutely recognized on the front like that at Cooperstown, the greatest moment for any baseball player to be recognized by one of the best players in the game, that can't be replaced. And so, I had a great time. I actually got to spend some time with Carlos this past weekend, so that was good. Fun. I just respect him so much, and I hope that he gets what he wants in the game because he deserves. If he wants to manage, I hope he gets the chance. If he doesn't, I hope he gets the chance to do. If he wants to be a front office guy, to get that opportunity, because you and I have had enough conversations with him. We know how smart he is, how sharp he is, how much he knows the game. He knows how the game should be approached by every player in the clubhouse, and that needs to be expressed. And he's got to have the ability to get on that, have him listened to by players who want to be better. And so it was certainly a special moment for me.
Yeah, and you could tell the players respect him, even when he comes onto the field at Citi Field. And these guys just respect him because of everything that he's done in the game. And, he's kind of have this quiet leadership ability about him. And there's probably not too many people smarter than him when it comes to baseball. So congratulations to him once again. Happy you were there. Did you get a chance to go in the hall itself? Did you get a chance to tour the museum while you were there?
I did not. As you know, it's so busy. Yes. I mean, I got in Saturday afternoon. We had the party Saturday night, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock breakfast. Went right from breakfast back, changed, had to get to the ceremony, had to get there early because we had some certain seats we had to get to. So I really didn't get a chance to go in, but I can guarantee you within the next year, I will be back. I did get to talk with Josh Brawitz, who is, you know, the president of the Hall of Fame. And so I've known Josh for a long time, and he said, "Hey, look, just call me when you're ready to come back." He said, "I'll take you through it myself." And so that'll be a special time.
Yeah, it was amazing to go through that museum again. I hadn't been there in 10 years since Piazza's induction, but they just keep upgrading it and new displays. They have a whole wing about Japan baseball now. So it was just an amazing weekend, even for myself being able to experience that and be a part of that weekend. And of course, after that Hall of Fame induction, you know, I think you drove right to Buffalo. You got on a plane and headed to New York for some meetings and you know, you've been so busy, but then it was off to Michigan to be inducted into the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame and being honored among elite MLB pitcher, the late Bob Welch, and baseball executive Bob Sullivan, and the former All-American Girls professional baseball legend, Connie Wisniewski. And talk to us about that experience and what it meant to be inducted into your home state Hall of Fame for baseball.
Well, you know, John, when I got the phone call from these people that I was inducted into the Michigan Baseball Hall of Fame, you know, I went to Eastern Michigan. So, mm-hmm. And then the University of Michigan's 5 miles away, and that's what I thought they meant. I'm thinking, well, why would I go in this Hall of Fame? And he said, no, this is the State Hall of Fame. And I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't get started until 2015, so it's not that old. Mm-hmm. So to get in on the early stages was very cool, and I was honored to be back there. And obviously some of the great, you know, John Smoltz is there, Jeter's there, Dave Bergman's there. Mm-hmm. Lots of other people that were involved in baseball in the state of Michigan. So it was very cool. Obviously, I thought, as I gave my little talk when they gave me the award, I said, it's a big night for Eastern Michigan because two of the four people they're going in were both Eastern Michigan graduates. And that was Bob Welch and I. And I actually had played with Bob. I hired him to his first coaching job when I was the farm director of the Dodgers. I hired Bob to be a minor league pitching coach. And, he did an absolutely fabulous job. He couldn't return the next year. He had some things he had to take care of, but became, you know, a pitching coach for the world champion Arizona Diamondbacks. So he got back and he became as great as I thought he was going to be. So that was fun. The other guy, Bob Sullivan, who owned a furniture store in Grand Rapids, Michigan, was heavily involved in amateur baseball in the state of Michigan. He had a team called Sullivan's, mm-hmm. and he brought college baseball players in from everywhere, not just Michigan. And he won three or four national championships in that college level, those summer league programs that they've had that are across the country. And then Connie, I met, they're starting a new women's professional baseball league. And so
yes.
One of the representatives was there to accept the award for Connie. So that was very cool. Plus I got to see, you know, three, four old friends that are still in Michigan who took time to come over to say hi to me in Lansing. And, so that was a special weekend, and you know, I just again, I can't tell you, I think of myself as just a baseball player, you know, John. I was okay, you know, I got signed, I got drafted, I got signed, and you know, did the best I could, but I certainly was not at the level of the Bob Welches or the Derek Jeters or those guys. So to have my name on plaques next to theirs, I mean, that is truly, truly something that's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, but hey, 55 years in the game too, so that's not too bad, Terry.
No. I fooled them a long time, John.
It's amazing, amazing. But they were very cooperative. They sent us pictures. We were able to post on your social media, and what the response and the accolades and people just congratulating you for that. And they were really nice folks. So we were able to pull a little video for you from that induction, from some of the news reports down there, and includes you throwing out the first pitch as well. So, Marsh, why don't we pull that up and show Terry this coverage of his Hall of Fame induction.
Midland native and Eastern Michigan alum Terry Collins. Collins spent more than a decade as a major league manager with the Houston Astros, LA Angels, and New York Mets, winning the National League pennant with the Mets in 2015. Collins told me tonight, though his baseball career never brought him back to Michigan after his college days, he remains a proud Michigander and was honored to be recognized tonight.
To be able to have these people still remember that I'm from Michigan was very cool. And when I got the phone call, the first question was, why? Because, my career was other places. 2 weeks ago, I was at Cooperstown, and I saw how those guys were impressed with what they, the honor. Well, I had the same honor being here. Being from Michigan, being associated with all these guys that names on this plaque. I mean, it's special. I've spent 55 years of my life in baseball, and to be honored for it, because I didn't ask for anything. I just did my job as hard as I could, and to be rewarded for it is really cool.
So that was a nice little piece, and it went out everywhere, and YouTube and Instagram and all the socials, and people just loved the video. So that was very cool. And we did see, that you could still throw one in there when it comes to batting practice.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, John. The on the field staff, who do the pregame stuff, and in the big leagues, in the minor leagues, they have a guy who kind of directs what's going on. So, we were going to throw out the first pitch. So anyway, this guy says, don't step on the first baseline. And by the way, don't go stepping on the pitcher's mound. And I said, do you know who I am? And he said, what do you mean? I said, I've seen 5,000 first pitches. I know where to go. I know how to act. All I'm going to do is walk out there and toss it to the catcher. I'm not out here to prove anything. So, poor kid was doing his job. And I'm thinking, I don't think he understands. I know what I know.
Yeah, those youngsters. But you were always known for being a great batting practice pitcher. And it was funny, a couple of days ago, I was online and I saw your former player, the great Curtis Granderson. He was on a recent episode of a new podcast called All the Smoke Baseball. And we pulled a clip from that show, which I think you're going to find very entertaining. It's about Curtis talking about the 2015 postseason and how you were pitching to him batting practice. So let's take a look at that and hear what Curtis had to say about TC in the postseason of 2015, firing him in there.
OG Terry Collins, old school.
Man.
Talk to us about him.
So I don't know if it just all was in the cards, because Terry was with Jim Leland with the Pirates. A lot of that stuff that he had over there, he would bring to us. And Terry was still in shape. Terry used to throw batting practice to Barry Bonds with the Pirates. He was his guy that would get him right. So in 2015, we win the NLCS and have a little gap before the World Series. Terry goes, I'm throwing BP. I've never seen Terry throw at this point. Terry's 60, almost 70 years old. You all right? I got you. He moved that screen up. He threw four or five times and he started firing that thing in there. This is the team representing the National League going to the World Series. Guys are swinging and missing. Can't catch up to him. He making us look bad. I'm like, hold on. I got to step out. I got to get ready. But it locked me in for the World Series because he was coming at you. He goes, Grant, that's how I used to do it. I was Barry's guy. And then I'd play this game with Barry. Okay, you got to hit one over there. If you don't, you owe me $1. Barry, boom, hit it over there. Okay, you got to hit one over there. Second deck, 10th row. Boom, he'd do that. So he knew where to throw. He knew how to go. He knew how to get you locked in. Mm-hmm. And that was Terry. And he took a lot of that stuff from Jim and brought it over to us. Would defend his players, get tossed out for you left and right, but would always be there and was upfront and honest. That's just like Jim.
Great man, dude. Yep.
It was kind of cool. I had to pull that, Terry, because it was so he was so descriptive of it. What memory does that bring back for you?
I was a little off on the Barry Bonds betting side. So I threw all the batting practice to Barry for, I think, 3 years. So if Barry hit early, I threw it. If he hit late, I threw it. If he hit the cage, I threw it. So he came to me one day and he said, we got to make a bet on this batting practice. I said, what do you want? Now, John, I'm going to tell you, this is when they didn't move the screens up. I threw from the middle of I didn't throw off the rubber because you don't want to tear up the mound, but I threw from the middle of the mound. So I was thrown from the dirt. Okay. And Barry said, okay, so every round that we take that you throw to me, if I don't hit a homer, I owe you $5 or $10. If I do hit a homer, you owe me $5. So in like the first round, it would be a round of seven. And Barry hit a homer. Now, he came to me one night, we're in Chicago, and he said, hey, the wind's blowing out today, so for me, for it to count, I got to hit it out of the stadium. Out of the stadium. Okay? We go into Denver. You know, the old Mile High in Denver. I don't know if you remember there.
But I've been there.
It was 440 to center, like 400 in the gaps. He said, I got to hit it to center field today. So, and there were rounds, we'd get down to the last round where he'd only have one swing. I didn't give him nothing to hit. I kept it down and away, you know. At the end of the year, I owed him $690.
Ah, wow.
So that's just how bad he used to, because I'm telling you, he was amazing. And we, and I didn't, and just like Carlos said, I, you know, I threw a lot of batting practice, and I threw it pretty hard, and I threw it pretty straight. So when they moved those, the screens up in recent years, so in that, in the taping, I mean, I'll tell you, Cespedes said, I'm not hitting off this guy. I'm not having him throw the ball by me. So it was fun. It was, that's what I loved. I loved it all. And I remember in Houston, Jeff Bagwell used to come in 1994, and he said, I want you to throw me extra batting practice today. And he was MVP in 94. And he hit and hit and hit. And I will tell you that years later, he'd say, I loved taking batting practice off you. So yeah, that was, that's how I got there.
That's amazing, Terry. We're going to be joined shortly by Sammy Stafor, the new really one of the top prospects for the New York Mets organization. But we do have a couple of quick questions for you, TC, about the current Mets. I mean, things are looking good right now. I mean, you have to talk about the amazing rookies that have brought excitement and energy with them this season. Nolan McClain, Christian Scott, Zach Thornton. In the rotation, and the amazing duo right now of A.J. Ewing and Carson Benj in the outfield. TC, your thoughts on how much these kids have brought to it, to the Mets this season, especially Benj in the outfield?
You know, John, there's obviously I watched as much as I can. On the pitching staff side, I lived it.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, those young pitchers are doing great, but I got to tell you, as good as they are, the four guys I ran out there, I'm not sure you could get better than those four guys. So I think it's great. As far as the two kids in the outfield, I think it could have come at a better time.
Yeah.
You know, the expectations of the team were all of a sudden were kind of getting lowered, even though Benj made the team early.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of took some pressure off them. Hey, look, you know, just go play. There's, you know, the expectations on every team, John, are on the backs of the stars. So some young rookies, they can just go play the game, and the stars will carry the load, and you just go contribute as good as you can. And they stepped up. You know, I talked to Andy Green. He said, you know, there's nights where they're the best two players on the field. So I think it's great for the future of the Mets, obviously with that young pitching staff that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why they're watching how much they throw and be careful, because they plan on keeping those guys for a long, long time. Yeah. And so it's exciting to see the two young outfielders play as well as they have. And the defense those guys are putting out there is off. It's off. I don't care how old they are. They are something, both those kids. So it's very fun to watch. And I just hope that as they grow, there's more young players coming, because that's how you sustain your success for a long time. Get those young players, make them stars, and keep them for a while.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's so many, and they really replenished the minor league system with the trade deadline and gutted the bullpen, obviously, but brought in some really good pieces. But getting back to Benj for a second, because he was signed and he was a dual player. He was a pitcher and a position player. One of the throws, I mean, when the Mets have three assists to home plate in two innings, that's pretty amazing. But Benj, he threw one in there. It was 103 miles an hour on one bounce of the catcher. And he said, I played it like a pitcher. That's what he said.
Yeah. But, you know, John, it wasn't just that. It was a perfect throw.
Yes.
You know, his accuracy is unbelievable. You know, you can go back to Vlad Guerrero, who had one of the greatest arms in baseball. But he could throw the ball in the third row, you know, over third base. So, but this guy's accurate. He's not only got arm strength, he's accurate as crazy. It's nuts to watch it. And I think it's really cool. And I'm John, I'm a big believer in when you got good players, leave them alone.
mm-hmm.
and let him play. Don't try to make him a utility player. Leave him where he's at. And this kid from right field, oh my gosh almighty, I don't think I've seen outside of maybe Ellis Valentine years ago with the Montreal Expos, anybody who's got as good arm as he's got. So I think it's great. I'm excited for him.
Yeah.
And they look like they belong, and they're gonna be the backbone of this team in the next few years.
Yeah, and they fired up the other guys too, and have been embraced, and it's a good feeling. And watching your buddy Andy Green, who assumed the interim manager's job, and that was not an easy task going in there, especially Mendoza was loved by the players. It really wasn't his fault, the way the roster was constructed. But Andy stepped in, and he reemphasized this week, along with David Stern, said he's definitely going back into player development after the season, and that's, you know, that's his sweet spot, I think. But I think he's having fun in there now. Noticed about his style, he is pushing players more. You know, he is challenging them more, which is really cool to see. He's working that bullpen, and the general feel of the club right now, they're playing looser, and he's had a positive impact on the club. So your thoughts about Andy, and he's putting it all together for these guys.
You know, I think obviously I became very close with Carlos Mendoza. I think Carlos is one of the best people I've met around. But, you know, Andy came in with a little different philosophy. You know, there were expectations still, even though that the record was what it was. You know, he changed. Hey, look, we're going to play the game a certain way here in New York. Some of the stuff that's going on in the last is that we're not accepting that now. And he made them accountable for their actions on the field, the way they played, the way they went about things. So, I've known Andy a long time. I think he's done a great job. But I will tell you something. When I was the minor league director of the Dodgers, the fact that he had managed in the major leagues in San Diego, he mm-hmm. now knows what it takes to be a big league manager or a big league player. So you get young players like Benj or like Ewing or like McLean or any of those guys, and Andy's saying, look, that's not going to work in the big leagues. This has to be fixed. And so I think that's great for young players because, you know, you want them to play in the minor leagues to develop their skills. But once they get to a certain level, now they've got to fine tune things to be big league, to be successful at the major league level. And there's nothing like having a manager who's been a big league manager who knows what it takes to bring these young players up and get them right. And I think Andy's done a great job. And if he wants to go back and run the minor leagues, that more power to him.
Yeah.
Because they have replenished the minor league system. You know, last year they lost 24 minor league players. They're tough to replace.
Oh yeah.
You don't trade just guys. You trade basically somewhat prospects. So they had to replenish it. They have, and I don't think anybody can do a better job of getting those guys to the big leagues than Andy's going to do.
And that's right. They were buyers last year, sellers this year. So yeah, the replenishment of that system was critical. And we're going to wrap up this segment, Terry, with you, and then we're going to bring on a very special guest, one of the kids that was acquired during the trade deadline, a diehard Mets fan, and now tearing it up in the Sally League, Sammy Stafor. So anyway, TC, that wraps up this leadoff. And before we get to our special guest, let's talk about what's happening with our presenting sponsor, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is certainly just gearing up for that 25th anniversary of 9/11. They're doing so many amazing things. And now permanent stable housing is now available for more than 100 veterans in Memphis. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has converted an old hotel into their newest Veterans Village. The Memphis Veterans Village is one of more than a dozen around the country that has been completed or is in some phase of planning or construction, and these include complexes at the Jersey Shore and out on Long Island. All of the facilities include an array of supportive services, and you can help Tunnel the Towers eradicate veteran homelessness by donating $11 a month at t2t.org. And only a half a dozen stops remain on the Tunnel to Towers Steel Across America tour. For more than 3 months, Tunnel to Towers has been bringing a 21-foot steel beam recovered from the Twin Towers on a nationwide tour. It's been an emotional journey as thousands of people have seen and touched the sacred artifact, which symbolizes the heroism and sacrifice displayed on 9/11. For more on the Steel Tour, go to t2t.org. You can help Tunnel the Towers on its mission to do good by donating $11 a month at t2t.org. And the motto of Tunnel the Towers Foundation is, "Let us do good." That's also the title of Frank Siller's new memoir. Frank and his siblings started the foundation after their brother Stephen was killed on 9/11. Stephen was a New York City firefighter who ran through the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel to the Twin Towers, where he lost his life. Since then, Frank has turned Tunnel the Towers into the nation's premier nonprofit for veterans and first responders. His book is a personal account of his family's loss and their commitment to do good in their brother's name. You can learn more about this book and the foundation by going to t2t.org. And if you're able to, please donate $11 a month. Once again, that's t2t.org. We'll be back with the number three prospect in the Mets organization and diehard Mets fan, lifelong diehard Mets fan, Sammy Stafor, right after this message from Mets Hall of Famer John Franco on behalf of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
On 9/11, the team was in Pittsburgh when the plane hit the World Trade Center. Born and raised here. You know, this is my home. It's like a punch in the stomach coming down here on the ground zero. We weren't sure if it was the right thing to do, but we wanted to help any way we can. When there's a building on fire, most people are running out. These guys are running in. And for us to bring a T-shirt or a hat to them, you know, they saw us, they smiled, they thanked us for coming down. It made us feel good about that. We put a small Band-Aid on a big wound.
They fought for us. They sacrificed.
I know Frank Stiller, who started this Tunnel to Towers, and what they're doing around the country is an amazing job. I take my hat off because they are giving back. They're paying the mortgage off for the houses. Policemen who got shot, who lost his life, the disabled veterans, they're making handicap accessible homes for them. This is an amazing organization.
Go to t2t.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Our guest on this special, talking with TC, is a young man who grew up as a diehard Mets fan and now ranked as a number eight prospect on the team's organizational rankings. He joined the Mets at the trade deadline from the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for star reliever Luke Weaver. He was the player of the month in the South Atlantic League during July. He's now playing in the high class A Brooklyn Cyclones in the South Atlantic League. New York's own Sammy Stafor. Sammy, welcome to Talking with TC.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm super excited to do this.
Well, it's exciting to see you, Sammy. Hope all is well. And how was it when you found out you got traded to the Mets? I mean, if you're a lifelong Mets fan, what'd you think?
I mean, I heard the Mets and I was like, oh my goodness, like this is a dream. It was super exciting though. My parents, my family, all my friends, I got hundreds of texts from them and they're all so pumped. So I mean, that means as much as it does to me as it does to them. So I'm super glad that I'm part of this organization. I've had a great time the last 2 weeks and I'm just excited to keep playing baseball.
So tell me about becoming a Mets fan when you were young, because I know in New York, you know, you're a Yankee fan or you're a Mets fan. How did you develop into a Mets fan?
I mean, first of all, I don't really like following the crowd and what other people like. So a lot of my friends were Yankees fans and I was like, do you know what? Like, I'm going to be a Mets fan. I think that was probably when I was like 5 years old. So became a Mets fan. I think my parents kind of liked them a little, but they didn't know much about baseball, but I decided to become a Mets fan and I stayed with it.
Oh, that's cool. What's your favorite memory of being a Mets fan?
It must've been that World Series run. I mean, we got together the whole neighborhood. We were watching every single game. I mean, it was just a super special season. It was filled with a bunch of joy, and it was just super exciting. I mean, the family was so excited. I was so excited. I remember, like, I mean, the whole, like, town got together. There was, like, 30 people. We were watching it together throughout the whole playoffs, and it was just so much fun.
So, Sammy, what part of New York are you from?
I'm from Westchester County.
Oh, Westchester. So, okay.
So, yeah, it's, like, 45 minutes probably from Citi Field. It's not too bad.
No, I actually, Jason Bay, when I had him, he lived in Westchester. Yeah. I think my coach Tim Tuffle lived in Westchester. I think he's from Westchester originally.
Really?
But I think Tuff, you know, I know Tuff was living there too when he was with us. So, but yeah, it's a great area. Well, We are. I'm certainly thrilled that you're with the Mets now, and you were a Mets fan back then. It was a tremendous run, and you're going to get the chance here in your time with the Mets to meet some of the greatest players you'll ever be around. And I will give you this tip: learn from them.
Yeah,
learn from them. You know, you're going to get to meet David Wright next spring. If I were you, I'd take him off to the side and have a list of 50 questions about what it's like to play in the big leagues, because one thing about him, he wants to help. And a lot of times in recent years, he's gone to spring training and we have dinner together and I'd say, so what'd you do today? He goes, nothing, absolutely nothing. I said, well, that can't happen. That can't happen. Cause this guy's one of the best I've ever been around in my 50 years. So, you know, you're going to get those opportunities to be with those guys and make the most of it, because they are, everybody that's played with New York wants New York to be successful. And if you're the future, they want you to be successful. So take these opportunities, man, to, you know, learn what it takes. And, you know, other than that, just go play. Go play and have some fun playing.
Exactly. I mean, for sure, I'm going to bombard him with questions. He's one of my favorite players, too, so that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of them. You'll be shocked about how many guys that, you know, when they show up and they want to just sit down and talk, because we all love the game so much. And as I told John earlier in the show, you know, and I spent 23 years in player development with the Dodgers, and, you know, to think, you know, I watched the Matt Kemps and the Russell Martins and the Kershaws and the Billingsleys. And even though I had great coaches in the minor leagues, I hired good coaches. You know, you always think you got to have a piece of their career. So, you know, listen, go play, and don't get, you know, don't just be the best player you can possibly be. You know, I always believe, Sandy, you were drafted and signed because you've got skills. Let those skills play.
Yeah.
You'll get it all. You know, when I became a field coordinator of the Mets, Lucas Duda came to me. I was talking to Lucas Duda one day, and I said, what are you going to work on this year? And he said, I got to start pulling the ball more. I said, why? He said, well, because I have to. I said, who told you have to? You got more power than anybody in baseball. There's, you know, balls go out of left center field just as good as they go out of right center field.
That's true.
I said, you'll learn. You'll learn how to do it. The more you play, the more you'll adapt stuff. So it's a great challenge for you, man. I wish you the best. So you're playing in Brooklyn, huh?
I'm playing in Brooklyn. Yep.
So your family gets to come and watch quite a bit, I bet.
Of course, they're super excited. Unfortunately, they're in Alaska this week, so they couldn't really come to the games.
You're in Nashville.
I know, they're just far away, so they couldn't come. But I am in Nashville, far from Brooklyn as well. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
you know, John, tell me, you originally got drafted by Cincinnati.
Originally by Cincinnati, and then last year I got traded to the Pirates at the deadline, and then this deadline I got traded to the Mets.
Holy cow!
Yeah, three orgs in pretty much 2 years now.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, that's good value, pal. I mean, that means a lot of teams want you.
Yeah, and the Mets really did, you know, with this trade, it was one for one, which was really, you know, showed how much they did want you. And the fact that they also paid down some of Luke Weaver's contract to bring you over. Also, I mean, that doesn't happen all the time. So, you know, one thing that Terry was referencing, you know, about the Lucas Dudas and do this. Terry, I want you to tell Sammy your relationship with Daniel Murphy, who's probably one of the smartest baseball guys ever. But in spring training, didn't he just clutch onto you? And tell Sammy that story about Murph.
So, Sammy, when I first came to the Mets as the field coordinator, Dan Murphy was he was in the big leagues. And spring training of that, my first spring, he got hurt. And I think, John, you can correct me because you're the historian in this, but it was either the last day of spring training or the second to last day he tore his knee up.
Yeah.
And so he went on the disabled list. So back then, all the rehab stuff was done in Port St. Lucie. You know, we had facilities for it. So when I would go to St. Lucie, Dan would be there, and he'd get up every morning and go in and get his treatment on his knee and then go out and watch the rookie league team practice. All morning, he'd watch them practice. And he'd sit there and he'd talk to guys about the – I don't know if you've met Dan yet, but he's a baseball junkie, okay? He loves the game immensely, loves to talk hitting. And then that night I would go and says, when you're the field coordinator, I had to watch the rookie league team in the morning, and then I'd watch their game at noon. And then I'd stay there for the class A team and watch them work out and stay for the game. And who's in the front row at the game? Dan Murphy. Talking baseball.
He really loved it.
Huh? I'm telling you. And this guy, I became so close to this guy because he knew the game. He talked the game. He loved the game. He talked all sorts about, you know, the swing adjustments and pitch adjustments. And that's why, you know, when it's pretty funny after 2015, when, you know, Dan was going to be a free agent, I went to Sandy and I said, we need to get him back. We need this guy back in his team, because even though we had some great players, this guy was a baseball guy, and he would do anything it took to be successful. And obviously we didn't, I guess, got more money from the Nationals, but yeah. You're going to get a chance to meet Dan one of these days, and you'll enjoy talking to him.
That's exciting. He comes to spring training. Do all these players come to spring training? It sounds like a good group go there and watch some baseball.
Well, one of the things Steve Cohen has done, he believes in history. He believes in the past, bringing some of these players back. So you're going to see, you're going to meet Strawberry. You're going to meet John Franco. You're going to meet David. You're going to meet Murph. Murph comes to spring training. I don't know.
Reyes.
Yeah. Who does?
Jose Reyes.
My God. Yeah. He's another one. You know, and when you get down here, when you finally get down to Florida, you get my number. We'll have dinner, and maybe Cecil will join us, because Cecil lives down here in St. Lucie. He does a lot of things in Cuba, but he'd be interesting to talk to for you.
Yeah, what do you remember about that 2015 season? I think you were 11 years old when the Mets made that run. And any memories of TC and that team and what it meant to you growing up as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I know there was the Wilmer Flores moment where he thought he might have got traded and then he hit his walk-off home run. And I thought that was special. He was crying. He was super pumped. And then to see him stay on the team, I don't know, I thought he was a key piece. I loved him as a player. We all rooted for him. That was super special. I mean, Daniel Murphy's run in the playoffs was something different. It was awesome to watch. It was like the best baseball I've ever seen. I feel like he just hit a home run every single time, or a double, or that clutch hit. And it was really a key part for the World Series run. And then also I think it was game three of the World Series where Syndergaard started the game off by throwing the ball high and in on, I think that was,
Escobar.
And then that just started a whole, like, it was, the heat was there. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was, you know, that was pretty funny, Sam. He said, so just before he walks to the mound, this is a true story. He does his warm-ups, you know, and he comes into the dugout. And just before he goes, he's leaving the dugout, he looks at me, he goes, "Hey, TC, I got a little something for him." I'm thinking, now what's he going to do? I mean, so he threw it over his head. I wish it would have been up in there, but he threw it right over the top of his head. So the next day at batting practice, Mike Moustakas, who played third for the Royals, comes over and he came over to say hi to me. And I said, "Hey, I saw you doing a little bit chirping out of that dugout when Syndergaard threw that." He said, "That was horrible. He shouldn't have had to do it. I don't know why he did that." I said, "Well, if you didn't like it, why didn't you go out there?" He said, "I'm not going out there. Did you see how big that guy is? I'm not going out there."
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So, yeah.
I remember seeing it. I think I saw it on Instagram or something like a month or two ago, and then you came out too, and you're with umpire. It was, I mean, it was electric.
Well, that was Utley, Chase Utley day.
Yeah, that was the ass in the jackpot argument with Tom Hallion. I don't know if you've had a chance to see that one, Sammy.
I'm not sure.
I will send it to you.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I was just in New York. I was up in New York this past week. And I'm walking down Fifth Avenue, and I had six people stick their phones in my face with this argument I had with the umpire that's gone viral. And so, it's crazy.
Well, Terry, I just put it up on the Facebook page of yours because our Facebook page has been growing like crazy. And I put it up 2 days ago, and it's gotten 40,000 views on it already. So that argument lives in history. And Sammy, I'll text it to you. And I think you'll get a kick out of it. That was like, that's why the players always like with Terry and him having their backs. And I know that that whole thing with Utley, you were a big Tejada guy yourself, weren't you? Weren't you a big fan of Tejada's?
Yeah, I was. I mean, that whole squad, I mean, when I was growing up, I loved every single player.
It was great memories. But you're in Brooklyn now. Offline, we were talking about the minor leagues a little bit, and you know how far of a bus ride it was. And you said something like to Terry, "If it's more than a few hours, you're on
more
a plane."
Than 5 hours. More than 5 hours, we fly here in with Brooklyn, which is awesome. I didn't get that luxury with my other teams. We would have to drive like 10, 12 hours. But yeah, if it's over a 5 hour car drive, we fly.
Terry, that's not like your days.
But you know, I got drafted by the Pirates, Sam, and so
really,
yeah, we were playing in the Carolina League, and I played with a Hall of Famer. Dave Parker was on the team. Yep. We only had four helmets. Okay,
just
so if the bases were loaded, if the bases were loaded, there were times, you know, and I have a very small head, so I got lucky because nobody wanted to wear my helmet. You know, if you had a helmet that didn't fit, you had to go trade helmets with one of the guys on the bases. We only had four helmets.
Yeah.
There was another next year in Double A. We didn't have any money, and so we had to drive cars. We all pulled it up a bunch of. They couldn't afford to get a bus in the Eastern League, and wow. I think we drove 10 hours from Sherbrooke, Quebec, to Burlington, Vermont, for a game.
It wasn't easy. My first job in baseball was in 1981. It was in the South Atlantic League, and the Mets had a team in Shelby, North Carolina. It was Class A team, and the owner of the franchise at the time, Mr. Jack Farnsworth was his name. He was a Bible salesman, but he was so cheap that he would actually, after each game, Terry, take the balls. He wouldn't let the fans keep the foul balls. He'd send kids chasing foul balls to take them back, and they'd like he'd re-scrub these balls after the game. He was just, it was incredible. We played, you know, it was a high school field, but there was like it was a hard, grueling situation. John Gibbons was on that team in 81. Lenny Dykstra, that was his first team. He just signed his contract, and I pick him up at the airport, Lenny, and here's this brash young kid right out of high school. I don't know if you know anything about Lenny Dykstra, Sammy. I'm sure, Terry, you do. But we get in the car, and we go to it's a high school field, basically, and he goes, "Where are we?" I was like, "At the field." He goes, "What do you mean? This is the field, Lenny. This is where you play." And he goes, "I just signed a pro baseball contract and you're taking me to a blank high school field." But when he stepped onto the field, and he's always been brash and, you know, exuberant, but he had that special thing. He was amazing on that team, worked his way up the system, and now his life has turned around. But he was truly an amazing Met. But those are the things about the minor leagues you don't expect. So what Terry said before we started taping, you know, Steve Cohen, he's a different type of owner.
Yeah, way different nowadays, it sounds like.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
very, very, very different. But getting back to just a couple of questions I got for you, and I know this fandom that you've had with the Mets goes way back, but something that I thought was really cool on your Instagram on May 8th, 2022, you DM the Mets asking, quote, "Mets, your thoughts for me throwing out the first pitch sometime this season? Would love to do it, LFGM." Did they ever respond to you? And did you ever get to throw out that first pitch?
No, of course not. I mean, I guess that was just the younger self of me just hoping for them to respond and get me some tickets at the game or something like that.
There you go. But, well, maybe, you know, now you're with the organization, so that's a little bit better than throwing out the first pitch, I would guess, right?
Yeah, way better in my opinion. Now I get to grind through the minor leagues and in hopes to be playing for my dream team one day.
So you're shortstop, you were in number one, you were the player of the month in the Sally League last month. So how exciting is it to you to put on that uniform of a team that you've loved since you were just a little kid?
So exciting. I mean, every single day when I see that Mets logo on, once I get to the locker room, it's just so special. I mean, watching this team grow up and like dreaming of playing it for this team one day and then not happening, and then a couple different organizations, and then I finally land here. It's like, wow, like this is like almost a reality. Like I just got to keep grinding and just having fun, and eventually I'll be in the big leagues and be playing for my dream team.
That's amazing.
So Sam, have they talked to you about, now you guys are done with September 1st? Is that when the season's over for you guys?
I think it's September 6th.
September 6th.
So 3 weeks.
Are they talking about anything in the postseason for you, the Instruction League or any of that stuff, or not?
No,
yet?
I have not heard anything. Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens. They might just be letting me finish out the season and see what happens from there.
Yeah.
Well, I know you have some friendships on the big club right now. AJ Ewing is a buddy of yours, and he's making such a big impact with the ball club this year. Talk to us a little bit about that friendship with AJ and how often you and AJ keep in touch.
Yeah, I mean, we talk all the time. He FaceTimed me Monday, actually. So we talked for a little bit, talked some baseball, talked just life and everything like that. We created a friendship in, I think it was in 23 or 24 when we got drafted. I knew him before that in 22, 21, because we played against each other in travel baseball. But we eventually started playing each other like every week because I was in Daytona. He was in St. Lucie. So we bonded over that. We had a friendship. And we would go out to breakfast every single day when we faced each other and always hang out and just have fun competing against each other on the team. Like, oh, who's going to get more hits this week? Who's going to do better or whatever? So, yeah, we really created an awesome relationship, and I'm super excited to play with him one day because I feel like me, him, and just like the younger guys on the team could definitely do something special in New York one day.
Yeah, absolutely. That restaurant you guys went to, you used to go at the same restaurant, that same breakfast place all the time, right? What was the name of it?
First Watch.
First Watch. Okay.
Yeah, First Watch.
There's none up north, I don't believe.
They're making a few. There's like one in Paramus, New Jersey, which is kind of far from my house. but there's not many. I just had it this morning, actually. I just ordered it before this.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Finally, Sammy, I finish with your quote recently. You said when you got traded to the Mets, I got the energy and I'm ready to eat. So here at the Terry Collins Show, we hope you eat well throughout your entire career with the New York Mets organization. Yeah. It's a pleasure to meet you, man.
Thank you. Pleasure meeting you guys as well.
Well, listen, all the best to you, man. Have some fun. Play hard. When you get down here, John, you guys are going to exchange texts, so he's got my number. When you get down here, give me a shout.
Perfect.
I live in PGA Village, so I'm not very far away. So
awesome. Yeah. I think I stayed there one time in St. Lucie, the PGA Village.
Did you play golf? You play golf?
No, I'm trying to learn. No one's trying to teach me, so I'm going to have to learn this offseason.
Well, I'll take you out when you get down here.
Perfect, yeah. But awesome. Thank you guys so much, and I'm going to have a bunch of questions ready for you once I come see you in St. Lucie.
Okay.
I would ask some now, but just time and everything.
You got one special you want to
ask? Yeah, please. I mean, we're not restricted on time here. We're good. So why don't you go ahead? I mean, you want to ask TC some questions. I mean, this is the time to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What do you think the biggest difference is between a major leaguer and a minor leaguer?
Adjustments. The ability to make adjustments. The ability to alter your game to adjust to a certain situation. There's times where, minor leaguers, they play with such flair that they can't rein it in at other times because, you guys play a lot of games also, but
yeah,
you get up here where it starts so early and it runs so long, you got to be able to make some adjustments as you go from game to game about,
yeah,
how to prepare. And the other thing, one of the things that you've got to learn, I'm sure you are learning now, is in the big leagues, you got to get a routine that works for you and stay with it.
Yeah. And that's also, would you say, like pitch to pitch adjustments or day to day, game to game, like it's everything?
Well, Sam, again, you're talking to a guy who, that's how I learned to play the game.
Yeah.
I watch games today where nobody makes adjustments anymore. Everything's pull side fly balls. But I watched the Yankee. Did you see you played last night? But so I watched a little bit of the Yankee game last night, and this Lombard, the shortstop for the Yankees. Have you seen him?
Yeah, that's one of my friends as well.
Is he? Well, he got two hits last night. Both of them were between the first and second. And the four hole. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I had a chance to be around Luis Arraez for a year. And, you know, here's a guy who got, just like you, got traded for three straight years and he won three straight batting crowns because he doesn't fit the new prototypical player type. You know, he doesn't pull. He just hits it where they are. Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, those guys, all they do is kept hitting the ball in the barrel wherever they wanted to. And there's a place for that in the game. Not everybody hits home runs. I mean, you brought up Ruben Tejada. Ruben Tejada, you know, when he swung, he made contact. So he wasn't going to walk. You go back and look at Tony Gwynn's career. He didn't walk.
Not at all.
You know, but he hit the ball in the barrel all the time. So I think to be able to do that pitch to pitch, you know, to say, hey, look, I'm going to look for something out there and I'm going to use the big part of the field. So you let the ball travel a little bit farther. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's not a wrong with, you know, I asked a couple years ago, a minor league player, what he used for a two strike approach. And you didn't know what I was talking about. I looked like I had a stinking hole in my head. So I don't know if that's being taught today, but it's something surely that is going to help you move faster.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's such a different game nowadays, but little things like that could literally like elevate your game to another level. Like Lombard, like you said, I mean, he's just doing whatever it takes to get his team the W. I mean, that's how you make a championship team. You need guys like that to do their job.
Well, Sam, the guy they talk about, we're number two with the Yankees.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good player. Yeah. He's a pretty good player. And that's what he did. He did things to win games. You know, there's a lot of times in today's game, because of the war issues, guys are afraid to get thrown out today because their war goes down.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter, in a 2-2 game in the bottom of the ninth inning, he'd get on, and here comes the middle of the lineup. You know, he hit first or second. So here comes the middle of the lineup. He'd steal second base when everybody'd say, well, he's not going to run because so-and-so's up. Next thing you know, he's standing in scoring position where now a single wins the game. That's the kind of player he was. You know, he went better to his right than he did to his left. So he played more. He shaded the middle a little bit more. He knew who he was and what he was, and he made those adjustments on his own. He didn't have to be told, hey, look, let's shade this guy in the hole. That's where I go best so I could get to that ball. So he took another part of the field away. Those are the things that the great players do. You know, that I go back. I talk about David Wright. You know, he beat Mariano Rivera two times in his career with big hits. One was the dead center and one was a bloop single to right center field. Just were dropped in front of the right fielder. He didn't try to pull this guy. You know, just like you said, he made an adjustment at the plate and said, I know I'm going to get cutters. So I'm not, why try to pull it? Why try to pull it? Just, you know, use the big part of the field and try to find a hole. And you're right. And that's what makes championships. You know, when I was the farm director, I had a philosophy, you know, and it was all about developing the player. You know, a guy like yourself, we got to get you, you know, 400 at bats in the minor leagues. Okay. That's important. But you know what else is important? To learn how to win. Because when you get to the big leagues, it's expected that you know how to win.
Yeah.
And when it's part of your culture, that's all you've ever done is win, you have expectations of yourself and how to play the game. And I think you can't replace those. Sam, you can't replace those at the big, big level. Those guys that do that, you'd be shocked at how many times they've won in the minor leagues or won in amateur ball.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I'll leave you with one more. What was your favorite game you've ever managed?
Oh my God.
With the Mets. With the Mets.
With the Mets?
Yeah.
There were a bunch, pal. I will tell you, probably my favorite game was game five against the Dodgers, the first round of the playoffs. You know, they were really good. And we're facing Zach Greinke. And, you know, Jake was going to start the game. And that was the game. And I told Noah he's going to pitch out of the bullpen that game. And our guys, and we, you know, they had a really, really good team. And we just came out and everybody did what I expected them to do. You know, Jake didn't have real good stuff that game.
Yeah.
But he mixed his pitches up. And, you know, him, he didn't walk anybody. And so, and we got some, a couple of big hits. Murphy hit another home run. We played tremendous defense, and that goes down because that's, you know, that was, I thought really that was the team we had to beat if we were going to go anywhere. And so that, yeah, that was a big one. Game three in New York in the World Series to win a game, because yeah, we should have won game one in yeah, Kansas City. That was a huge game. Yeah, there were a bunch. There were some. Oh, the game in against Washington on Sunday night when we swept them. That was after Wilmer's, when he hit the walk off in the first game of the series. We had three homers. Granderson hit a homer. I think Murphy hit a homer, and Duda hit a big home run. And both, you know, those were, that got us going. That set us, got us on fire.
Yeah. Now I think nowadays the NLCS is seven games, right? I feel like it was five games when you guys played.
No,
it, right?
It was that was the division game, the NLDS. That was five games. The championship series when we played the Cubs, that was seven.
That was seven.
Them, so it only went 4-0.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what hurt. To be honest, I look back and I don't care what anybody said. We swept the Cubs and we sat for 6 days.
Yeah. That's not fun.
I called every manager I knew. I called La Russa, I called Torrey, I called Leland, I called Lasorda. Said, you know, what do I do here? I mean, we can't. And everybody had a different idea. And they said, we've all tried them. It doesn't work. Now, Joe Torrey said, just make sure your closer's ready. That's what he told me. And I said, well, you got the best of the game. Let's compare apples and apples here. You
know, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
The resting for that long, you like kind of lose the momentum. You're like, wow, like it takes a couple of days to get back up and running. Like, it's not easy. People don't understand.
I told you that, got it 100% correct. The adrenaline you have going after we swept the Clubs, we were absolutely sky high, right? Yeah. And 3 days later, you can just see it. You can just, and you know, an adrenaline, it beats you up, man. It beats your system up. And that's why, you know, they talk about the World Series hangovers in spring training, because, you know, you use up so much adrenaline in the World Series and it's October and you only really have about three more months and you got to get back at it again. And you got to recapture that same energy level, and it's tough because it beats your system up.
I'm sure the WBC this year, the players coming back from that, going to spring training in the regular season, they're probably like, wow, like, this is so weird, because they had so much adrenaline from the World Baseball Classic, and then going back, they're probably like, whoa.
100%. I'd like to look and see how all those guys, what kind of starts they all got off to.
Yeah.
You're right, man. It's tough. But that's why one of the things – and I will tell you, Sam, and I know they do it differently today. I'm a big believer in winter ball. Okay. Yeah. I love winter ball. Because winter balls, if they can talk about development, you got to win in winter ball. Yeah. You go get sent home. And it also, I just did an appearance in my up in Michigan in my home state. And they're all college kids in a college league. And they asked me about, because they're at summer program, they played 72 games. And they said, what do you think about us playing 72 games? And I said, I think it's great. You got to learn how to play every day. Yeah, you know, when I was the farm director in Los Angeles, I told our rookie league coaches, the thing that our biggest challenge is to take these college kids or these high school kids and have them do things every single day because they're not ready. They're not used to it. But they've got to learn how to do it, because once they climb the ladder, they've got to be able to handle it, because it beats you up. As you know, it wears you down, man. I remember my first full season, I was playing in the Carolina. We won the league. I had a Hall of Fame player hitting behind me named Dave Parker. And Dave was 6'5", 240, okay, a star. And we're playing in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Hey, I played there so much.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
So I played there like every week. That chewing tobacco company, right? That chewing tobacco smell was in the air. And I'm getting ready to start the game. Because we're playing in Santa Virginia, and Dave comes over and hits me over the top of my helmet with the handle of his bat. And I look at him. Now, this is my first full season. Okay, I played after I signed. We played in that half year league, and it's time to get ready. You got to get ready every night. And so those are the things that I think you and your teammates now got to be ready. That, hey, look, you got to be able to take care of yourself, because you got to get ready to play tomorrow.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, one more little question, right? Any advice you'd give a player like me going through the minor leagues, ups and downs, any advice just to get to the big leagues, keep going?
Yeah, I will tell you, learn how to understand there are ups and downs. So when you're 4 for 4, don't get too high.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow you might be 0 for 5 and don't get too low.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a neutral.
Keep that same, but I know it sounds easy, Sam, and it's not, because you get a hot streak, you know, you look up and you're 7 for 10 and you're riding the clean and everybody's, you know, it's your, the next thing you know, you're 0 for 14 and guys don't even want to sit next to you. You know, they don't want to touch your bat, and you know, so just understand it. It's when you get to the big leagues, and every night there's pressure to win. You know, you're in an area now, and I know you want to win, but it's all about working on your skills.
Yeah.
But when you get in the big leagues, there's nothing like playing in the World Series. Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, just as a fan watching it, you're like, wow, you could feel this. Like, I'm nervous for them. Like, it's pretty cool.
You walk out in that field. When we walked out in Game 3 in Citi Field, the electricity in the ballpark was off the charts. Off the charts. So it's cool, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. Enjoy
your time. You know, I
appreciate
your third. Is this your third year?
This is my third year.
So when I gave a speech a week ago, and I talked about when my first spring training after I signed, I met guys who were 28, 29, 30 years old, still playing in AAA, because back then there was no free agency. You didn't move, you stayed with New York. So I played with the Dodgers. They had the same infield for 12 years. We didn't go anywhere. So, but I wrote a letter to my mother and said, well, I'm going to play 3 years. And if I'm not in the big leagues in 3 years, I'm going to quit and go back to college. 55 years later, I'm still in the game. So it got in my blood. It got in my blood, and I did what I had to do, and I don't have to apologize for anything. I did.
Excellent. Awesome.
Thank you so much, Sammy, for joining us.
Get a hold of me when you get down here. We'll get together.
Awesome, for sure. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Good to meet you. Good luck.
Great conversation with Terry Collins and Sammy Stafora, one of the newest Mets players acquired at the trade deadline. It was great to see TC mentoring this young man, and the fact that they're going to get together down in Florida during spring training is very cool. So Terry and Sammy Stafora, was great to have Sammy on, and we wish him the best of luck with the Brooklyn Cyclones as they finish up the last few weeks of their season. And we're going to return with Peter Tucci, owner of baseball equipment company Tucci Limited, with a special announcement concerning Bo Bichette and the upcoming Tunnel to Towers golf outing on October the 4th in Port St. Lucie, right after this story from Tunnel to Towers about the Tennessee Three.
We gather here today in beautiful Franklin, Tennessee, to welcome not one, not two, but three recipients into their brand new mortgage-free smart homes. Lance Corporal Tice, Sergeant Gatson, and Corporal Dotson, it is my honor to welcome you all home. Just as they swore an oath to protect us, we at the Tunnel to Towers Foundation have sworn an oath to give back to these great heroes the freedom they lost. These homes are more than just physical structures. They are instruments that will help them regain their independence and dignity.
This is amazing.
From the bathrooms to the kitchen.
Oh my goodness. It was like everything I expected times 1,000.
These homes were specially crafted to fit their needs.
It's incredible. I can't even really believe it. It's so big, so spacious, more than I could have even imagined. This has been an incredible day.
3, 2, 1.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our home. Thank you to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation for giving my daughter a room that most little girls dream about.
Can we all cheers?
Yay.
And thank you for giving my wife a bathroom that most wives dream about.
Thanks, my brothers, now neighbors. I am highly blessed, appreciative, and thankful to be here. This has been just overwhelming, but in such a wonderful way. This foundation is basically a godsend.
Yeah! Wow. I'm so grateful that there are people out there that care enough to donate and do what you guys have done for me. Thank you so much, honestly. Thank you.
Join us in supporting our nation's heroes. It only takes $11 a month to make a positive impact.
We now welcome to the Terry Collins Show, direct from Citi Field, Mr. Peter Tucci of Tucci Limited. Pete, welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me. Terry, great seeing you guys.
Nice to see you, Pete. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into your special announcement regarding Bo Bichette, tell us a little bit about your company.
So we started out as a primarily wood bat company. I started the company back in 2010. We're located in Norwalk, Connecticut. We started at the MLB level, believe it or not. 2012 was our first year being MLB approved. We had 55 guys in Major League Baseball that year. Five ended up playing in the World Series, and we had a bat in Cooperstown by the end of that season. So after our first year in MLB, we kind of hit the ground running. That was 2012, 2013. We had over 100 guys in MLB, and we've been kind of hovering right around anywhere between 100 to 150 guys per season since then. And then since then, the company's been acquired by a company called Scherter Sports out of Indianapolis. Now we do BB Corps bats, batting helmets, a lot more team oriented as far as full product lineup, batting helmets, bags, bats. We're getting ready to launch into gloves, batting gloves. So we have a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah, very cool. You've supplied bats, as you said, to many MLB players and those aspiring to be big leaguers from Little League on up. And tell us about your relationship with one of them, current Met Bo Bichette.
So Bo, I met Bo when he was 13 years old. His dad, Dante, was the then hitting coach of the Rockies. And Troy Tulowitzki at the time was a big client of ours and an actual investor in our company. And so they were playing in Philadelphia. I went to go see Tulo. And Tulo said, hey, I got to introduce you to somebody. And he introduced me to Bo. Bo at that time probably weighed about the same as he does now. He was about a foot shorter, big round-faced kid. But when I saw him take BP with the big league team at 13 with a wood bat, he was putting balls in the seats. So we sent him bats right away, and we've been making him bats ever since. And it's been great kind of following him through his path through high school and on the kind of national scene at that travel ball level. Then getting drafted and kind of his time with Toronto and us being located in Connecticut, it's nice to kind of have him in our backyard now here at Citi Field.
And you're at Citi Field today because this weekend, and Terry, I don't know if they did this while you were managing, but it's a players weekend, they call it, and the players are allowed to use their special bats or gloves. And this year, I was introduced to Peter by Joe, who's running the golf tournament that you're going to be participating in October the 4th for Tunnel of Towers. And when you reached out to me, you said that there was going to be some special announcement and the fact that you have now designed for Bo for this Players Weekend a bat that is really kind of a Tunnel to Towers type of bat. So let's take a look at it, Marsh, if you could pull up the actual bat, and then we'll let everybody know what Peter intends to do with that bat at that golf tournament. So, Marsh, if you could pull up the video. There it is. So I see a bunch of first responders, red, white, and blue flag.
You know, this year being a anniversary, we just felt it was important.
Yeah, 25th anniversary, 9/11 coming up September 11th. And so Bo was on board pretty quickly when it came to this initiative?
Yeah, so it was something we came up with a few months earlier. You know, again, being the 25th anniversary, now having Bo in New York, you know, it's always been something kind of near and dear to my heart. You know, I kind of lived through that 9/11 tragedy. You know, being so close to it in Connecticut, I had friends who worked in New York, friends who actually worked in the Twin Towers. And so I kind of remember those days vividly. And now with Bo in New York, and we just kind of want to do something special for him and with him, and thought there was no better way to kind of honor the first responders. And we've kind of worked with Tunnel to Towers at that golf event the last couple of years. But we thought this year to do something a little bit more special and auction off one of the game used bats of what you just showed that Bo will be using this weekend. We're going to be auctioning one of his game used bats off at that golf event in St. Lucie.
And Terry's, you know, Terry's a big ambassador for Tunnel of Towers. They're associated with our show. Terry does their golf outings and is very close to Frank Siller. And so, Terry, I think this is kind of a cool thing that during that tournament, October the 4th, I guess there'll be a silent auction with proceeds going to T2T, and this bat will be part of that.
Well, I hope it's, you know, because that's my golf. I'm a member at that golf course. So, matter of fact, I already have the foursome, my foursome put together. I'm taking three retired NYPD officers with me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun. And I just hope it's, you know, when I see the bat, and I certainly will be spreading the word that it's on its way down here, because I see those guys almost every day that I play golf with. So I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's great. You know, it's pretty funny, Pete. Cespedes has bought a bat company at one time. You remember that?
So I do.
I used to tease him about getting a hold of the owner of the bat company and getting some better wood, because he did one of those 1-for-10 slumps. You know, I said, God, you got to get some better wood, man.
You know, it's funny. Cespedes used to buy his own bats, because before he bought that company, he was going back and forth with a few different companies, and we were one of them. And he actually bought his own bats with his own credit card. He didn't allow the team to buy his bats. And then he must have thought they got too expensive and figured just buy the company outright. So, he's still in it.
You know him as well as I do. Nothing shocks me that he did. So.
Well, this is going to be huge. And Peter,
Peter, are you going to come down to that tournament or not?
I'm going to talk to Joe Mataferri. I'm going to try to come down. I got to check my schedule around that time. October is a pretty heavy traveling month for us in the bat world. But believe it or not, as the season winds down and in the off season, we actually travel more in the off season than we do during the season. But but if I can make it down, I do plan on coming down, because it is a great event and would love to be there.
Great.
It is October the 4th. For more information, reach out to Joe at 203-981-3005, or you could email him at pridejm@aol.com. Peter, I want to thank you for your time, and let everybody know, especially the young athletes, coaches, parents who watch and listen to this show, how they can check out your company and equipment that you make available to them.
Absolutely, yes. So our website is TucciLimited.com. And you can also follow us on socials, Tucci Limited Sports. And, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, Facebook, so TikTok, I believe, as well. So our marketing team does a great job at that. And so, check us out, see what we're up to and what we're going to be kind of launching into. You know, one of our newest ventures is we just announced that we're the now official bat and batting helmet of all JUCO baseball and softball. So that's kind of a big undertaking that we've kind of taken on this year. And kind of, like I said earlier, you know, kind of not only being a wood bat company to Major League Baseball, we're kind of an all-encompassing company. And we're looking to, you know, our whole goal as a company is to try to take wherever you are on your baseball journey and lengthen it, right? Everybody starts off in Little League thinking they're going to be a Major League player one day. And then some of us end up getting there. Some of us fall short. But wherever we end up on our journey, our goal as a company is to help you get a little bit farther than maybe you would have on your own. So, we'll keep making the best products we can. And I appreciate you guys having me on here today.
Peter, I'm going to tell you really quickly. That is absolutely, for me, brilliant. You know, in all my years in the big leagues, I used to see bat companies, you know, they spring up and all they want to do is be in spring training with the big league club. And I said for years, you need to start in rookie league. Get those guys, and then all of a sudden they get a bat and they use it and they start coming through. You got them wrapped up once they get to the big leagues. You know that. So I love to hear the fact that you're even going into the JUCOs and stuff, because that is, for me, that's the stepping stone to in all the sports. And if you have those guys say, "Look, this company was with me for years. I'm staying with them."
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean,
great idea.
Look at Bo. We had him since 13. You know, so and that's our goal is to, you know, get the next Bo Bichette as he's 12, 13 years old and coming up and just help him throughout his career.
That's great. Well, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
And we'll talk to you
guys.
Soon. Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Look forward, and hopefully I'll see you guys on the 4th.
It's great to have Peter Tucci on and hear about the history of his company and the fact that he supplied bats to so many major league players, including Bo Bichette. And that bat is going to be a special item at that October 4th benefit for T2T down in Port St. Lucie. Let's talk about our friends at Coach's Collectibles. And if you're a fan of the captain, David Wright, and Jose Reyes, listen up, as our friend Domenico at Coach's Collectibles has brand new memorabilia signed by both in this week's offers for listeners and viewers of the Terry Collins Show. Just signed and ready for shipping is the brand new, beautiful 16x20 dual autograph canvas print of David and Jose. It is JSA witness certified, signed in orange paint, and is an exclusive Coaches Collectibles New York.com design. Just go to their website, or you could visit them on Facebook and Instagram to learn more. Also, now available, full-size Mets logoed bases signed in blue by David and Jose, in addition to a full-size authentic Mets batting helmet signed in orange on the bill of the helmet by both of them. Once again, these are JSA witness certified. Go to CoachesCollectiblesNewYork.com. Don't forget to use the TC Show promo code for free shipping and 10% of the sales go to Tunnel to Towers Foundation. And you can go follow them on Facebook, Instagram. They're everywhere. Wonderful partners of this show, CoachesCollectiblesNewYork.com. And that's going to about wrap up this edition of the Terry Collins Show. You could join our very active community on Facebook. We picked up another 200 followers just this week. So now over 5,800 of you are now interacting with each other and getting to see some exclusive content there. So find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ The Terry Collins Show. Our Instagram page is also rocking. Close to 11,000 of you are on there seeing and interacting with us. Go to Instagram.com and look for @TerryCollins_10. And finally, YouTube. Our viewers get to see the video version of this show each week with highlights, clips. Several new videos are posted each and every week. And all of our video content is archived there. Please subscribe to our channel now by going to youtube.com/ The Terry Collins Show. And if you listen on Apple or listen and watch on Spotify, please rate the show with 5 stars. Leave it a review. It really helps us when you do that. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. Thanks to our creative director, Marsh, and to our researcher, Dominic DiBiase. For Terry Collins, this is John Arezzi. Thanks for joining us, and have a great week, everyone.